Our cruise guru, Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, is on the line with us with the latest cruise buzz. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
How's things with you today? We haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks.
No, a couple of weeks. Well, if I sound a little different today, it's because I got braces on Thursday, if you can imagine that.
Braces? My goodness.
I know. I'm so miserable.
And but you're okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
I mean, is this something you've just waited all your life to do, or...
Oh, no. Well, no. As people who, it's a shame we're not in TV, because people who could see me would realize that all that's standing between me and being a Greek god is my teeth. No, not really. No, this is, my dentist has been lecturing me for years that my bite needed correction, otherwise I'd be losing teeth when I was 70. And I said, well, that sounds somewhat unappealing, so I guess I'll go ahead and get braces.
Yeah, well, that's, now how long are you going to have these? Because the kids have them for a long time.
Yeah, lucky for me, 2.5 years.
Good Lord, Evan. Well, but then, of course, you're only 17 years old anyway, so what does
it matter? That's right. I'll be 18 next week.
Well, anyway, let's get some of the cruise news. There's lots of interesting things happening out there. And, you know, I just thought I wanted to start it off with this note about the Polish Coast Guard firing on a German ship. But tell me about that.
Isn't that crazy? Is apparently the, you know, the Poles and the Germans, of course, have had a testy relationship over the years, but this is ridiculous. A German cruise ship was in Polish waters, and there's a spat over selling duty-free alcohol and cigarettes on board this this German cruise ship, and the captain of the German ship basically took off from port because of the discrepancy, just made a run for it out of Polish waters, was pursued by the Polish Coast Guard. The Poles are saying that they fired blanks as warning shots, and meanwhile the German captain is saying no, he thinks it was live ammunition. But either way, it was just a big diplomatic piece of ridiculousness.
How amazing, you know. Well, it was firing blanks. Well, what's that hole through my hull, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway.
So the two governments, of course, are busy negotiating on what's going on there. And it comes down to things like, you know, Polish cigarettes sold on the ship are a big bargain for Germans. So, you know, they're doing what they can to sell duty-free on board. And, you know, the Polish side is claiming the ship landed in Poland, and that the Polish side is claiming that Polish customs officials were prevented from disembarking. Yeah. You know, it's just all kinds of crazy stuff. And the Germans are claiming that, no, the customs officials didn't have any identification, so they were being charged for being in Germany illegally.
Good Lord. Well, at least it all came out okay, and then there wasn't any serious business happened. I mean,
exactly,
it could
exactly.
Have been terrible because, you know, they always sometimes say, well, yeah, fire a shot across the bow. You fire a shot across the bow, and if the fellow's a little bit off, it goes through the, you know, go right through the ship or something. That'd be horrible.
Well, hopefully they were actually just blanks.
Yeah, hopefully so is right. It's interesting that they carry blanks.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Perhaps just for situations like this, when you want to get somebody's attention but not actually put them in any danger.
Yeah,
and to be clear, this was a German cruise vessel, so no, not a cruise vessel marketed here in North America.
Right. Yeah, interesting. It's an interesting situation, but the good news is nothing serious came of it. Evan, let's go to the what's happening in New Orleans, because that's kind of interesting with the Holland American Line's going to... go back in there. Is it? I'm sorry. Is it Holland American or is it? It's Carnival ships going back in, isn't it?
That's right. Well, the first one to be home ported there, the first ship that actually arrived back to settle into a New Orleans home port since Katrina, is Norwegian Sun, which sailed on October 15th.
Right.
And so, you know, the cruise lines announced quite a while ago they were going back in, but this is the first ship. So ships have called there already, to be clear.
Right.
But this is the first ship that's going to be sailing from New Orleans that's back there since Katrina.
Right.
So that's great news.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, it's kind of interesting at the standpoint of, are they going to have people to get on it? You know, Terry Thornton from Carnival's vice president of marketing is saying, you know, everybody needs to do some advertising here and some promotion to, you know, make sure they're going to fill this darn ship.
Yeah, that's right. And then some of the people that I've spoken to, you know, peers of mine who are cruise sellers. You know, we see New Orleans cruises selling okay, but people are a little, you know, a little reluctant. You need to educate them somewhat on that the city is back and it's ready, and that the cruises are great.
Right.
And they need a little more convincing to be able to do pre or post hotel stays.
Right.
And that's even a broader issue than the cruise industry. That's New Orleans in general needing to continue to get the word out that, you know, there is good, solid, clean, safe fun to be had in the city now.
But there was some concerns about staying overnight, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, let's hope that works out. I know there have been some cruises going out of there because Chris Elliott was promoting one that they were doing out of New Orleans, and so we hope that all gets back to normal. But it's a big undertaking, and it's going to be interesting to follow and see just how that all works out.
Yeah, it's incredible how long this has taken for the city to really get back, and it'll be probably another year, a couple of years, before people just feel confident that everything is back to or better than it was.
Yeah, exactly. The Panama Canal. Obviously, that's they've just approved
the third set of locks.
Right.
the third set of locks.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And but you know, there was some controversy on there for a while, but now it's actually been approved, and of course it'll open up another. Was it actually two?
Well, it's going to double the canal capacity with a
right,
third set of locks.
Yeah.
So it basically will mean twice as many ships can be transiting the canal at a time. And these locks are, I guess these are double wide locks. So you know, you got two lanes in the two directions of traffic in the one new lane.
$5.2 billion.
Yeah, it's a huge project. I mean, it's just incredibly important for Panama. It'll be, you know, an economic driver for them for years. You know, obviously there are a fair number. This is important for both passenger cruising and freight transport, that as in passenger cruising, the freight lines have many, many what are called post-Panamax ships. They're too big to fit through the canal. And this new canal construction is going to make it so that even those ships, and even all ships that are currently on the books and being contemplated, will be able to fit through the canal. So it actually could have, you know, obviously tremendous implications for the cruise line, but even more so, just for commerce. It could lower pricing on goods, products that are brought into the United States by making it more efficient and easier to do. So it's a very big, very big deal.
And it's 92 years of serving world commerce, which is really interesting. You don't think of it in terms of 92 years.
It is. I mean, this is like, you know, early in the 1900s, this canal project was approved and started to be built. And just an incredible thing. I feel terribly that I've never sailed through it myself. I'm dying to. It's on my short list of things that I really need to do that I haven't tried. Have you sailed through the Panama Canal?
Yes, I have. It's really fun. It's really quite interesting.
Of course, it'll be nothing but a construction zone for a few years now. So.
Yeah, I didn't see how long they said it would actually take, but it was interesting that they're saying that it's going to be funded by you know, the ships that are going through there.
Well, of course, yeah, they can't really take the hit. Panama can't pay for that itself. It has to be, you know, paid for by user fees. And the construction is not going to start until next year, and they don't know specifically when it'll be done, but it's estimated to take up to 8 years. So we're looking at 2015, more or less, give or take.
Now, I see the George Smith lawsuit has been thrown out.
Well, as it should have been. So George Smith family. Now, this is not to say anything is wrong with the family, of course. The family is obviously grieving for the loss of George Smith, who's better known now as the missing honeymooner who disappeared on off Brilliance of the Seas in July 2005. His family filed a lawsuit against Royal Caribbean. And, you know, as we said, we've discussed this in the past, you know, cruise lines have historically not really handled things as well as they could have when crimes occur on board.
Yeah.
But over the course of the past few years, they've really cleaned up their act in that regard. And in this particular case, Royal Caribbean, in my opinion, from everything that I've read and everybody I've talked to, handled this missing persons case as well as they possibly could have, and it was brought to their attention. So the Smiths sued the cruise line, saying that, you know, there was a cover-up, that Royal Caribbean was negligent, and, you know, the federal court, agreed with what I've been saying all along, basically, that Royal Caribbean was not responsible for this in any way, and so he dismissed their lawsuit from the court. I don't imagine this will be the last that we hear of it. They'll probably appeal or file, you know, different amended lawsuits or whatnot, but that's where it stands for right now.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, don't you?
No, it's definitely a good thing. I mean, it's, you know, the cruise industry is a big fat target for people who like to pick on big companies.
Yeah, exactly.
And they do deserve it from time to time, don't get me wrong. They deserve a good kick in the shins on a number of issues regularly.
Right.
But this issue of onboard safety is one that they've gotten their act together on. And really, Royal Caribbean just did everything they could to help this family, to help the investigators, to bring the FBI on board. Even though they weren't legally required to, they did, because all the cruise lines have committed to involve the FBI when major crimes occur involving U.S. passengers. The FBI was on the scene very quickly. Yeah, so it is. It is good that it was dismissed, because, it, you know, it's another stamp saying that no, Royal Caribbean was in the right on this.
All right. Well, it definitely sounds like they did the right thing. Kathy Ireland is going to be the godmother of Freedom of the Seas, as I understand.
Carnival Freedom.
Carnival Freedom, I'm sorry.
You would really think the cruise lines could, you know, pick different ship names for each other, yeah. But the fact that Freedom of the Seas out on Carnival Freedom, I was scratching my head on that for a long time. Anyway, yeah, Kathy Ireland. So Carnival's, you know, taking a page from the other, a couple different strategies for godmothers, or sometimes it's someone with, you know, gravitas, like Dame Judi Dench, you know, as a godmother for a ship that really makes a statement for a princess ship. And yep. At the other end of the spectrum, you have the, you know, the beautiful people like Kathy Ireland being a godmother. So Kathy will break a ceremonial, oh, and for people who may not know, actually, Kathy Ireland is one of the original Sports Illustrated swimsuit models. I guess for people who are, you know, 15 years younger than either of us, they may not know who Kathy Ireland is.
Exactly.
I'll say she was hanging up on teenage boys' walls quite some time ago. That's who she was, is. But, so she'll be breaking the ceremonial bottle of champagne across the ship's bow during a naming ceremony that's scheduled right now for March 4th, 2007 in Venice. So that should be a fun one.
Yeah, that should be a great one. Now, Holland American is completing the upgrade on the Seabourn, the two ships.
Oh, yeah, you mean the new order for the two ships?
Yep.
Yeah, Seabourn ordered, and this is actually a real shock. So Seabourn's a small luxury cruise line that hadn't ordered new ships for, if memory serves me correctly, 20 years.
Yeah, it's been close to that, I would think.
Yeah, it's been certainly in that ballpark. And really, as recently as a few years ago, Mickey Arison, who is chairman of Carnival Corp that owns Seabourn, just a few years ago, he was saying that luxury cruising wasn't growing, and he couldn't imagine any luxury cruise line ordering new ships for the indefinite future. So here we are, turning around, Mickey Arison announcing they're buying two new ships, which will more than double the capacity of Seabourn Cruise Line. You know, it's a big statement of faith in that luxury cruising has turned around, people are being attracted to it, and they're doing great. So that's I feel wonderfully for Seabourn, but it really caught everybody in the industry totally off guard. It was a surprise announcement.
Yeah, and the sad part, of course, is they've just lost their president.
That's right. Debbie Natenson passed away. She was only 53 years old.
I know, and a beautiful lady.
Beautiful lady, and fun and smart. I remember vividly. She's president of Seabourn now. She's been in the industry forever.
Yeah, she's been around a long time.
She had worked at TWA, Orient Lines, Cunard. Cunard went when she became a household name. She joined Cunard in 2000. I remember vividly being at a trade show with her some time ago. It was one of these trade shows where there's a panel, like a Family Feud kind of a thing, where there's a panel of travel agents versus cruise line executives.
Uh-huh.
So it's agents versus executives seeing who could answer trivia questions about travel. And Debbie just had encyclopedic knowledge. she was the ringer, so the travel agents didn't stand a chance against her.
Well, she'd been in the industry a long time. She was a journalist originally, a travel journalist, and then was with a tour operator or two. So, I mean, she's paid her dues. She's been around this industry for a long, long time. And what a terrible thing, as you say, 53 years old, and our condolences certainly go out to her family.
Yeah, absolutely. A great lady.
Evan, we're going to run, and as always, I thank you, and hopefully we'll be talking to you next week.
Well, I hope I was intelligible with all this metal in my mouth.
Well, you sound even better. You seem to be, maybe, you know how they say you can close your mouth and you can actually get a radio signal?
I'll report back to you on that next week.
Yeah, but it'll work out as an antenna. But as always, it's fun, and we enjoy chatting with you.
Thanks, Roy.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.